There's newly uncovered video of a U.S.-born jihadist, Mohammed Abu-Saha, threatening America. Take a look.
There will be jihad today, and there will be jihad tomorrow. No matter if you like it or not, there will be jihad. You think you're safe where you are in America or Britain? I have one word to say to you, Kafir. We are coming for you, alhamdulillah. And I am glad to say this. Finally, I get behind cameras to say this, you kufar, you Kafir, you big Dajjal. We are coming for you. Mark my words. Listen to my words, you big kufar. You think, oh, that you killed Osama bin Laden? You did nothing. You sent him to Jannah, alhamdulillah. You sent him to paradise. You think that you won? You have never won. You will never defeat Islam. You push any of your kuffar leaders.
Well, that video was reportedly recorded the day before Abu-Saha blew himself up, detonating a truck filled with bombs in Syria last May. The scary part is this man was a Florida native. So how worried should Americans be about homegrown terrorists? Here to tell us is terrorism expert Steve Emerson. Steve, good to see you. We know that since 9/11, we've seen a number of these homegrown terrorists. What can you tell us about the profile of American citizens who join the jihad?
Well, the profile is expanding. You saw in the video, here's a guy, he was a college dropout, Caucasian, and Western, totally Western. His English was impeccable. But I must tell you, as Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. If you go back to the 1980s, there are hundreds of American Muslims who went to Afghanistan to fight the jihad against the Soviets. And then they returned. And guess what happened? In February 1993, the World Trade Center blew up. But that time, only 7 people were killed. Not enough until 3,000 were killed 8 years later. So, you know, history is repeating itself here. This is a shot across the bow. And frankly, there are many, many more jihadists, not necessarily planning to carry out attacks, but who can be mobilized on a moment's notice. That's the problem here. And the problem is exacerbated by the fact that we have an administration that's in bed with these radical Islamic groups who pretend to be moderate or civil rights groups that have basically curtailed the ability of the FBI, DHS, ICE agents to monitor, do investigations, or even prosecutors. Prosecutors now have to petition the Department of Justice to use the word jihad in indictments. This shows you the extent to which this administration has neutered the whole campaign to stop jihadism and basically interfered, Monica, with the ability of FBI agents to do their job. We saw what happened in Boston, right?
Yeah, and
why
it's
didn't
really,
they stop that
it's,
one?
It's really unbelievable, and you and your group, the Investigative Project on Terrorism, have done extraordinary work in pointing out how the FBI, city and state law enforcement, and now the border patrol with essentially an open border with God knows what kind of terrorists and Islamists are coming over the southern border, how they have been really hamstrung and by regulations and political correctness, restricting their ability to monitor these Islamic communities and the border. Let me ask you this, though, because it does tie into what we're seeing with Hamas's war on Israel. Talk to us a little bit about how Obama's feckless foreign policy and his lack of moral clarity here and his very tepid support for our close friend and ally Israel, how that's emboldened both the Muslim Brotherhood and the Muslim Brotherhood's military wing, Hamas.
Monica, you couldn't have said it better, but let me be absolutely clear. The presidential, this administration has essentially embraced and legitimized the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the godfather and parent of all Sunni terrorist groups, including Hamas, including Islamic Jihad and Al-Qaeda. And for the administration to make a distinction between Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood is simply murderous. And that's what they've done. They've lifted all restrictions on Muslim Brotherhood visits to the United States. They've negotiated with them. And basically, last night when Kerry announced the ceasefire, he said the ceasefire will lead to negotiations over underlying grievances. That's like saying that negotiations with Hitler would lead to a resolution of underlying grievances, like his hatred of the West, his hatred of Jews that killed 6 million. There is no underlying grievance of these groups other than the destruction of the Jewish state and ultimately establishment of the Islamic Caliphate. I put squarely and fully the blame of the Hamas buildup of rockets and their tunnels that started in December 2012, when Hillary Clinton first negotiated the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas that forced Israel to lift the blockade and allow Hamas to get concrete and steel, which they used to build tunnels and they used to create rocket launching facilities underground. That resulted in their most recent war, and which has caused basically the strategic survival of Israel to be at, for the first time, to be at risk.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable to me that this White House, through its actions, has essentially legitimized the war criminality of Hamas.